It will come as no surprise to you, dear listener, that I regard wireless as the most undervalued, underrated medium. Although, let's face it, when people like a radio program, they take a great feeling of personal pride in it. That's true of a raft of programs here on Radio National. And one of the programs on Radio National of recent times is the aforementioned This American Life. It's a weekly public radio show produced by Chicago Public Media, and it's broadcast on squillions of stations across the US. It's listened to by 1.7 million, and it has 650,000 poddies. And the creator and host is Ira Glass, and he and his program have won more awards than most of us have had hot breakfasts. Even the This American Life team admits it's hard to describe the show. So I've asked Ira to join us from New York, and he can have that task, because Ira, I would find it challenging. Tell us what it is that you do.
This always, I guess, should be the first question. I guess I should have come up with a decent answer after all these years. We're doing stories on the radio. That part is straightforward, and I think what makes us different is that you know, we're public broadcasters, but we took as our mission from the beginning that we wanted the show to be just incredibly fun to listen to, with the thought being that if you would turn on the show at any point, you would just get stuck to it. And what we do are stories that are just very traditional kinds of stories. And sometimes it's just somebody coming in and telling an amazing yarn. And sometimes it's us going out in the field with recorders. And so the stories unfold like little movies for radio. So there's characters and scenes.
I think little movies for radio is a very good definition. That's as close as you're going to get. Because that's what happens. I was sitting in my car outside an airport today waiting to pick up someone, and I was listening to a couple of programs all the way through, and I was watching a movie. I really was.
Yeah, and we score them like a movie. I don't know if you've noticed that. We have music running underneath a lot of the stories in exactly the way you would score a film. And the way that we think of the plot points of it is very much, I know now, because I've gotten to know some people who write screenplays, and it seems like a very similar piece of craft in the storytelling.
And it is journalism. You think of the show as journalism, don't you? Journalism with a difference.
Yeah, I mean, it is journalism. We're telling true stories. I mean, occasionally there'll be, if we find a piece of fiction that we love and it seems like it's in the style of what we do, we'll let people know, like, we found this amazing piece of fiction, we'll run it. But I would say 90-95% of what we're doing is true stories, and so we go out with our tape recorders. Our show came along at a time. Like, I started working in broadcasting when I was 19, and I started this show when I was 30.
Doing what? As you get started.
I was working at the American Public Radio Network, the American equivalent to the ABC, called National Public Radio, and I started at the bottom. I was an intern, and then I did all the various production jobs and did the overnight newscast, and just I did every kind of writing for the newscast, not performing it, and did every kind of behind the scenes job, and was an editor and producer, and then became a reporter and fill-in host, and then finally I started making this show. So I'd been working there since I was a teenager, and at the point where I started making it, public radio in the States was at a point where it did a very good job being timely and authoritative and bringing the news and bringing analysis, and doing great traditional journalism. And there was always a strain in American public radio, as there is, I know, on the ABC, of people trying new things and new kinds of voices and people doing work that's more just more on the fringe. And I thought that there would be a way that somebody could do a show that would be journalism, but use the techniques of fiction, use the techniques of the new journalism, and just make something that would be super fun.
Let me tell the listener that one of the programs I listened to today, it was a story about a rather large American who, would you believe, starts singing Chinese opera. He doesn't understand the language, but he's singing Chinese opera. And while he's singing it, his eyes fall on an incredibly beautiful young woman playing a rather odd instrument. And the story tells of his pursuit of this girl. She had no idea that this guy is obsessing with her, this large American. He pursues her around China, can't find her, and then through a series of the most extraordinary coincidences, they get together in America. Now, thus far, it's a love story. But what we hear from the two protagonists sours a little. You know, the Cinderella story, if you like, goes awry, and it takes quite a long time of, shall we say, domestic peril before it stabilises. It's a charming story, but it's also, in fact, a quite tough story, and it's told by them, Ira. It's not told by you or by me. It's told by them.
Yeah, no, and I think that that's a good example of the kind of thing that we would do. I mean, the idea with that sort of thing is hopefully if you get invested in him and her at the beginning of the story, then you stick with it and you want to find out what will happen. And the way in which he found her to declare his love and reach her, I mean, he goes through so many steps. It's really a journey. And then the fact that then we can tell the actual story of their, you know, domestic life and how hard it was for her to move to the States and just the reality of it then turns into just one more plot twist, but one that kind of it undermines it, so it's not like a Jennifer Aniston Chinese romantic comedy or something.
LNL, Radio National, Ira Glass, host of This American Life, the only program on earth that I'm willing to concede might be a little bit better than ours. There's a very fine English film director called Mike Lee, who started off in radio. And Mike told me once on this very program how he used to go out and do dramas, live plays on location for radio. Now, I think it is such a preposterous idea because, as you know, radio plays are produced in studios with funny little sound effects. And, you know, when there's a love scene, people kiss the back of their own hand. He would take his actors out and they would do the play on location. And the reason he did it was to tell the truth. He said he wanted people to hear the real atmospherics, you know, that were happening in that time and place. That sort of sense of drama permeates what you do on This American Life.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's interesting because I feel like, weirdly, all of us who are doing nonfiction stories have an advantage right now over people telling fictional stories, over novelists and people making movies. Because at this point, we all see so many movies. We all see so much drama. That being able to make something that's real and actually be out in the actual world, you know, the stories can have a similar structure and they can have similar sorts of characters to fictional ones, but the fact that it's real gives it so much more, it just goes to your heart more.
And Ira, there are so many stories to tell. Now, you know, this is a very different program. We talk about issues, ideas, books, politics, religion, whatever. But we do it every night of the week, and we do 2 to 3 stories a night. But people wonder where the stories come from. Well, the fact is, everything's a story, isn't it? Everything's a story. We could run all day, really. There are so many stories. But how do you choose your one story of the week?
I mean, honestly, like it can be hard for us to find stories. I mean, that's the most labor-intensive part of the process. Is finding stories for the show because we need them to be true. We need the characters to be. We need there to be somebody who you can relate to in the story or who we can relate to. We need there to be a plot. The plot has to be surprising. It needs to drive at some idea about the world that you haven't already necessarily thought. And that's just a tremendous burden on a little radio story. And like we like it if at some point the story's funny, and, you know, it's kind of extra points if it's funny and then sad. And so you know, just finding a story in real life that conforms to the dictates of
drama. But
do
people come to you with stories, Ira? One of the great things about this program is every day the listener, who I call Gladys, Gladys sends me ideas, and quite a few of them become programs. You must get a lot of people putting their hands up saying, tell my story.
We do. Yeah, we definitely do. And occasionally, there's probably one thing on every episode that is just simply something that someone sent into us, some random person sent into us. And I mean, just recently I had this experience where we were going to do an amusement park show, and we tweeted about, oh, we're going to do a show in amusement parks. And this guy tweeted back saying, like, oh, you should come to where I work. And he sort of described his work situation. And we looked up, he had made these little videos online, and we looked them up, and we were like, he's right, we should go. And he ended up being half the show. You know, like just yeah. he sort of announced his existence, and we were like, yes, that's a really good idea for a story.
On the basis of our brief acquaintance, I'm going to ask you a very personal question now. And this, we're staying with the Jewish theme here. How is it that you, sir, not only listen to Howard Stern, but you like him very much? I've always found him so shocking.
I don't know. Like, are you guys getting Howard Stern down there?
No. We are safe from Howard. Oh, we shouldn't have even said that. Radio National will probably start running him next week. No, this is not a big market for Howard.
I think that people who actually haven't heard his show on a daily basis actually don't understand what the show is. I think the show is marketed as a kind of a shocking, lewd show. And yes, he has, you know, girls come in and take off their clothes.
On this program constantly. But.
But he has that. But that actually isn't what the show is, weirdly. The show is more like – I had a friend who compared it to like the old Jack Benny show, like to the classic old like radio and television comedies, where he has a set of characters, and there's Robin, and there's Artie, and there's Jackie the Joke Man, and there's like this, there's Baba Booey, there's like a core group of like five or six characters, and then another like population of about two dozen other characters, and he creates situations for them to interact and contests and things like that. And basically, for those of us who listen to the show, we love them. And, you know, like we know all of them. We know their personalities. They get into fights with each other. And it's about this ongoing soap opera of all of them. And it's actually an amazingly ingenious invention, that show.
I shall have to listen again through borrowed ears, and I promise I will. Now, the other personal question, come a bit closer. You sold out. You sold out to television. You did a couple of television versions, 12 eps. How did that work?
Yeah. That worked. We recorded by a TV network, and we recorded for a very long time. And they were very much like drug dealers coming around saying, like, well, just try a little bit. Just try and just have a little taste. And they said, just shoot, like, 50, literally, like they said, like, just shoot 15 minutes. It'll be fun. That literally is what happened. And we kept saying, like, no. We kept making up excuses. And we kept actually saying, like, what about this and what about that? And we kept sort of – I remember one of the demands we made that really stumped them for a while is we said, like, okay, if we shoot this 15-minute thing and you like it but we don't – like, if we like it but you don't have to run it. But if you like it and we don't like it, or we just don't like you – like, you know, like, can we get out of it? And they were like, well, I don't know. Nobody's ever asked that. Usually people just want to get on TV. And finally they came back and said, like, okay, if you decide after shooting 15 minutes that you just don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. Like, and we won't do it with other people who we bring in. Like, and so then we went ahead and did it. And I have to say, we had kind of an amazing experience. And I'm, you know, somebody, I'm a public broadcaster and a radio person, and I had never had any a special desire to do TV. And it turned out to be really, really interesting and really fun, and it was interesting to think about how to use pictures to tell stories. And it turned out to be so much. It turned out to be far more different from radio than I would have thought. And we did it for a couple of years, and then we asked to be taken off of television because it was just hard to do the radio show and the television show together at the same time. But we had we were on a cable network. We were on Showtime, which I don't know if you have. It was like HBO. And we kept waiting for them to kind of turn around to us and say like yeah this is fine, but you know, when are the girls going to take off the tops, you know, like that kind of thing. And that never happened. And in fact, they were incredibly encouraging, and it was an amazing experience.
I must talk to Showtime tomorrow. They've got a physical presence in Australia. It's run by a friend of mine. Now look,
I totally recommend that.
15 years, that must astonish you that you've been doing it for 15 years.
I suppose. I mean, it's weird. Like radio people, it tends to be, you know, different than other mediums. Like how long have you been on the radio?
Well, I've been doing this job for 20 years. This is my 20th year. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, somehow I think those of us
I'm 103.
I feel 103 sometimes.
I'm not in the studio. I'm in intensive care. But okay. But I've got to say the 20 years have rushed past. Is that what you're saying about your 15?
Yeah, very much so. Like I feel like it's you know, it, weirdly, unlike people who make movies or television or any other part of the mass media, like being on the radio seems more like being like a newspaper man, and you can just find a version of this job that works for you. And then I feel, you know, it's not like I have other skills. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like I could do something else. And so
I'm told you're a dazzling tap dancer. That's I shall speak to the researcher.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've been deceived.
You're going to do it another 15 years, Ira?
I don't know. I mean, it's I like doing it, and there came a point in the show's history, like 4 or 5 years in, where we, as a staff, we wondered, are we going to run out of ideas? We wondered if we were a program like Seinfeld, you know, where they just sort of like ran its course. They came up with every idea they could come up with in that format. And then it really seemed like we might be. And then just somehow we got some new staffers and started thinking about the show differently and reinvented the show. We've reinvented the show a bunch of different times. Like now we tend to do a lot of using our way of telling a story and actually attacking things that are in the news, big news stories.
The voice of Ira Glass, host of This American Life. On our next, we will find out if we can prevent the collapse of bee colonies. So stick around now for the news on ABC Radio National. And if you come across a bee, for heaven's sake, be nice to it.